Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National Employment Network Payments Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone keypad. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, October 25th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Sean Walcott. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Nandi. Welcome and thank you for attending the All EM Payments Call today, Tuesday, October 25th, 2016. If you're a new employment network, we welcome you and thank you for working with the Social Security beneficiaries. I would like to thank all our returning EMs who join us each month. We hope this call serves you in understanding the intricacies of the payment process for the Ticket to Work program. I'm Sean Walcott, EM Payments Manager, and your host for the call. Joining me in our McLean office is Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Operations Manager. And on the line on behalf of the Social Security Administration, we have Katie Strivinger and Shauna Dixon. Thank you all for joining the call. Today we are going to discuss the following topics: ePay status update, fiscal year 2016 end of year stats, frequency of the All EM Payments Call, ticket program available resources, and then our question and answer forum. Let's begin with a review of the ePay status update for our recent ePay file completed. We have completed the latest ePay file, 33,732 total claims paid, totaling $21,158,161. Over 8,000 Social Security numbers were reviewed, a little over 400 EMs were paid. Our next ePay file is due mid-November. Our ePay stats for fiscal year 2016, 74,369 total claims paid, totaling over $46 million. Over 18,000 Social Security numbers were reviewed, and over 400 EMs were paid for the fiscal year. Now we will proceed to our fiscal year 2016 end-of-year stats. The Payments Department monitors claims submitted by EMs and the state vocational rehabilitation agencies acting as EMs and ensures that these claims are processed within 30 days. The 30-day time frame is the contractual metric set by the Social Security Administration. The number of payment requests received versus the number of payment requests processed is reflected each month in our productivity report. End of year stats payment information. There are three processes by which an EN may obtain ticket payments: online via the ticket portal, completing a payment request form and faxing and emailing it to TPM, and the automated ePay process. The number of payment requests processed is 175,310. The number of claims paid is 122,898. Total dollars paid is $85.79 million. The total dollars for fiscal year 2016 was a 72% increase over fiscal year 2015 dollar amounts. The accuracy rates for the end-of-year stats is 99%. End-of-year stats denial information. For fiscal year 2016, 27,174 payment denials were identified, that is inclusive of program-related denials and EN-related denials. End of year stats, top denial reasons. This portion of the call identifies the top four reasons for payment denials for fiscal year 2016 that EMs possibly could have prevented. The top four are not eligible for payment due to look-back earnings, due to VR services phase one milestones can't be paid, beneficiary receiving federal cash benefits, duplicate requests, payment already made. all the outlined reasons are due to submitting information that did not satisfy payment criteria. A number of denials could be attributed to ENs not reviewing specific information when preparing and submitting a payment request. Frequency of the all EN payments call. A survey is often the best way to get information and feedback to use in planning and program improvement. Often surveys are used simply to get feedback from a specific group of people and or learn about their wants and needs. The purpose of this survey is to gauge the response of our EN community. When you called in and registered for the payments call, you were asked to provide some feedback regarding the frequency of the all EN payments call. You were asked to participate in the survey and provide feedback to the following question. What frequency do you prefer the all EN payments call, monthly or quarterly? Once all votes are accounted for, survey results will be announced at a later date. We'll now proceed to ticket program available resources. The portal automates many operational functions you do throughout the day. Besides uploading payment request forms and viewing the EN payment status report, as reviewed previously, some additional automated features that the portal offers include checking for ticket assignability, assigning or unassigning tickets, and uploading form. TPM provides website resources for service providers. ENs can also visit this information center section of the website to obtain additional information, resource documents, and training materials on a wide variety of topics. The information center also includes a listing of upcoming events, including conference calls that service providers can attend. The training section within the information center includes PowerPoint presentations from past Ticket Training Tuesday calls. To access the Ticket to Work website, go to yourtickettowork.com. Ticket Portal Training and Resources. The Secure Training Resources site was created to ensure the highest level of security for you and the beneficiaries you serve. You can only access the site by using the link included in the welcome letter you receive via email with your login information for the portal. The Ticket Portal User Guide is a resource to have at your fingertips when using the Ticket Portal. The reference to consult before contacting us with a question. For ENs, information on how to access the training and resources site was included in the welcome letter you received with confirmation of your completed enrollment in the Ticket Portal. The preferred method of tracking the status of submitted payment requests is to use the Ticket Portal and take advantage of the real-time updates. However, if an EN is unable to use the Ticket Portal for any reason, it also has the option to send manual payment status inquiries to the EN Payments Help Desk. ENs can obtain PIN details from the Social Security Administration announcement dated on July 15, 2015. Email inquiries must include the EN's DUNS number, beneficiary's SSN, and the claim months. ENs must allow 5 or more business days for a response. ENs can also obtain clarification on payment-related issues or explanation on how EN payment staff can apply ticket policy procedures to make payment and payment denial assessments. The EN Payments Help Desk staff performs the following tasks to assist the ENs with payment-related issues. Answer EN payment inquiries received through the Payment Help Desk phone line. Submit payment requests to the EN Payments staff for payment reconsideration or for payment supervisor review of a payment issue. Outreach to ENs to obtain payment-related documentation when EN payment staff report missing or incomplete information from payment requests ENs submit. TPM phone and email resources. The Ticket Operation Helpline is available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both the Payment Help Desk and the System Support Desk are accessible by choosing Option 1 and Option 2. The Payment Help Desk is available to answer your questions regarding payment policy or status under the ticket program, while the System Support Desk has representatives available to assist you with any technological issues you encounter. Using the ticket portal, questions about the ticket assignments, or TPR-related questions. This will complete the presentation portion of our call, and I would like to start our question and answer forum. Deborah, do we have any questions from the chat room at this time?
We have a lot of Ian's asking about the presentation, so I can let you know now. We do not have slides. We just have a number of questions where the slides, it's mentioning that the agenda is not moving forward. So I just want to let all the ENs know that this month we do not have a presentation. There are no slides other than the agenda.
Thank you, Deborah.
Someone else wants you to revisit the ePay status update. I guess, Sean, for you to get those stats again for ePay.
Certainly. We have completed the latest ePay file, 33,732 total claims paid, totaling $21,158,161. Over 8,000 Social Security numbers were reviewed, a little over 400 ENs were paid, and our next ePay file is due mid-November.
Okay, I have a question from May. It says, we received outcome payments for a beneficiary, but have never received milestone payments. What could be the reason we did not submit a request for payment? If you did not submit a request for payments, your outcome payments may have been paid by way of the ePay file. There were earnings listed on that file. The reason you may not have been paid for milestones, there were either exclusions for the phase ones, or the beneficiary went into suspense status early and had earnings at SGA level. Okay. There are a number of ENs who have not been able to get past whoever's on the line taking the calls and the passcode. I don't know what the problem is, but a couple of them said that they couldn't get past the operator. So I don't know what to tell you. Just keep on trying because there is audio with this call, but you have to call in for it. It's not part of the Blackboard Collaborate. You have to call in to actually hear the audio. Oh, and Chris has this statement. The operator asked questions that I've never been asked before. What frequency do you want? I've never been asked that question either, so something's going on with this call. We're going to have to check into that later. You should only be asked your name, the spelling of your name, and the code, the passcode, or for this call. That's all.
Excuse me. This is the operator.
Pardon?
This is the operator. Sharon Beavers told me to ask which frequency do you prefer.
Correct.
Oh, frequency of the calls. Okay, it was not clearly stated. What we mean for the frequency of the calls is, would you like to see the calls continue monthly or at a quarterly basis? That's the question that should be asked.
Hi, Deborah. This is SSA calling. We were also asked to give our email address, which, given my name, it took a while for us to get through spelling our name and our email address. That might be what the others had concerns about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it was just some confusion over that question of frequency. Some ENs said they were clear with the question that were asked, and others said it was not clear to them. So just to clear it all up, when the operator asked about the frequency of the call, They wanted to know, what is your preference? Would you like to continue with a monthly call, or would you like to go to a quarterly call? And that looks about it. Just asking for slides, where's the presentation, when is it going to be posted, and that's pretty much it that's in the chat line.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to open up our phone lines for our question and answer forum. Nandi, would you please advise our audience of our phone lines are open for any payment-related topics they would like to discuss?
At this time, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. You do have a question from the line of Mary Lynn Ivor.
Hi, Mary Lynn.
Mary, your line is open. Okay, well, your next question comes from the line of Elaine Bogie.
Hello, Elaine.
Yes, this is Elaine.
Good day, and what question do you have for us today?
Well, the question I have is, I have 3 payments in pending right now, and I have not received anything yet, and I've been trying to work on this since June. But right now, I looked in my portal, and I have 3 pending payments. When can I expect to receive those?
Did you submit your payment request in June?
No, I sent the payment request in, and I have 3 of them in pending right now.
When did you send your payment request in with these 3 pending payments?
I've sent them in within the last month.
Okay. If it's past 30 days, call our help desk to see what's going on, because based on our metrics and the numbers that we get from SSA system, we don't have anything that's over 30 days, and it can take up to 30 days. But, Sean, correct me, aren't we pretty much caught up in our queues?
We are, and I would be interested in finding out about this information. So could you please contact our payment help desk, and I will look into this matter personally for you.
Thank you very much. I will do that.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Deborah Reardon.
Hi, I just keep going back to the same question. I'm sorry to keep bugging you about it. But the payments end of year status report, I'm sure that it has a lot of really interesting information, and I would like to be able to share that with some of the people who, some of my board members, and to have it more in a report type form. And I would imagine this is public information as to, just sort of like a cost analysis of, how well the program is doing, the number of people who are coming off of benefits, that, that type of information people ask all the time, and I don't have that data. So I just really like to know, where can I find that?
Most of our presentations are listed on the Ticket to Work website, and that information is found on our events and archives section.
So there's a difference this month, though, however, Sean, because we don't have a presentation. We do have a recap, right, every month?
Correct.
And we have a recap, so we could post those numbers on the recap, because we don't have a presentation, so you can't go in and review a presentation like you normally would. So we will place those the stats that we gave out today in the recap.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you so much, Emily.
Okay. Jamie has this question. I was wondering if payments are processed from an SSA payment center, the local district office, or through Maximus. Ticket to Work payments are processed by Maximus. Only programmatic payments are processed by SSA payment center or processing center. And again, I want to reiterate that there is no presentation. Someone just said, I spent the whole call trying to get into the presentation. We don't have a presentation this month.
Thank you, Deborah. Do you have any additional questions presented in the chat room?
Let's see. There's not a question. Linda has a statement. Wait a minute. Marcel. I placed the beneficiary November 2014, and I still have not received any payment. We would need more information from you on this. We would need to know if they're earning. Did you submit a payment request? Did you submit earnings with that payment request? If you believe that a payment should have been issued for that beneficiary, you can call out Payments Help Desk. But you will have to give a little bit more information. Okay.
Thank you, Deborah.
So, Sean, do you want to start with the questions that we received by way of email?
Correct. While we're waiting, I would like to read questions submitted to us via email. The following questions were submitted by the NINA Ops Committee by various individuals. The first question, if an error is determined by an EN after submitting a pay request, is there a process for deleting the pay request from the pending list? If so, how is this done? There is not a process for deleting a payment request from the pending list. Once a payment request is submitted, TPM will review the information and take some action regarding the payment request. If there is an issue with an EN in regard to the payment request, please call the payment help desk and alert of the payment error. Our second question, if an EN is not eligible for Phase 1 Milestone 4 due to look-back earnings, but the ticket holder has earnings above SGA for what would have been Phase 1 Milestone 4 months, is the EN eligible for Phase 2 or outcome payments for those months? The answer is yes. If the earnings meet criteria for payment for Phase 2 or outcome payments, the EN is eligible for that particular payment, and the payment will be made. Our next question, some payments reflected in the portal appear to be processed backwards, and it causes the last month paid to be inaccurately reflected as the last payment in the portal. Not only does this make it confusing for an EN to quickly view the last month paid, it can also cause an EN to miss out on Phase 2 milestones because the outcome payments are made first. For example, for a situation where SGA earnings were achieved in January, February, March, and April, with cash payments stopping in February, payment history might reflect outcome 1 for April, outcome 2 for March, and outcome 3 for February, and no payment in January because outcome payments have been made. In this case, the portal would reflect the last payment as outcome 3 in February, which is not correct. The month of April should be reflected on the beneficiary's main screen. We've been advised this is a program issue, not the way the months are entered. Can this be fixed? As long as there are SGA earnings, Phase 2 can be paid as long as there was no outcome period entered prior to January. Additionally, in regard to how some portal payments does not reflect in sequential order, we are working on resolving this issue. Bear with me, please.
While we're waiting for you, we have another question.
Sure.
Chat room. Someone, this is Katie, this is a question for you. I have experienced timeouts in the SSA portal when requesting a payment and incomplete information ended up being submitted. Is there any way the time to enter pay stub information on the payment screen be lengthened? The timeout has caused duplicate requests for me, and it makes it confusing to track requests. Katie, is it possible to extend that time?
Is this, I guess, this is Linda, is this recent? Because we are currently having problems with the portal in production where it will time out. It will kick things out. It's been happening to everyone, and it has nothing to do with what transaction you're performing. And that is happening to SSA system-wide, and it is affecting the ticket portal. Okay, so the last 6-8 months. Are you keying every single pay stub in your payment request, Linda? Because if you are having problems, I would suggest just keying the first pay stub if you have a group of pay stubs that you're submitting together and see if that helps. If you are, because it does, the way the portal works is you do, you know, enter, key all the pay stubs on the screen. It lets you enter quite a few. The limit is pretty high. But you can't submit them until you have it all entered. If you are having problems personally with what you're doing, I would suggest trying to, yes, you can key in the first pay, I would key in the first pay stub. So key in the first pay stub, always key, if you're going to key one in, key the first one first in sequential order. And then make sure you follow up with all of the rest of the pay stubs in the fax, but you only need to key the first one. That
okay.
Might help you with your problem.
Thank you, Katie.
Yep.
I have additional questions that were submitted via email as well. The fourth question submitted by the NINA Ops Committee by various individuals is, it follows as, is this a correct statement? If a ticket terminates at age 65, but the beneficiary's regular retirement age is greater than 65, the beneficiary would be unable to reassign their ticket. But the ticket provider to whom the ticket is assigned would still be able to provide services and receive payments for that ticket until the beneficiary attains their regular retirement age. If this is true, why does the portal reflect terminated for some beneficiaries who fall into the age 66 retirement age while others do not? Second portion of the question, does ePay auto-process payments for those individuals 65 and older? Yes, ePay will review payment requests that have not been processed and make a determination based on payment criteria if a payment can be processed in this instance. In relation to the terminated ticket, if you believe the ticket is terminated in error, notify the payment help desk and submit an inquiry so we can review this case in detail.
Okay.
There's a fifth question.
And I'll pick up on the next two questions, Sean.
Certainly.
This is Deborah, Tennessee. This is a very, very long group of questions under one number, so please bear with me. We have been told the O2 denial code is the denial code most often used. I believe the O2 denial code is beneficiary is in current pay. From a service provider standpoint, we only request outcome payments for months we know the required earnings were achieved, and we are often the ones who have reported the earnings to SSA. The portal also reflects that earnings are at or above SGA at the time the payment requests are submitted. In some instances, we have been getting O2 denial codes for the same person for years. When and how can we and EN recoup the payments for those months which we were not paid because the beneficiary remained in pay status? And I'm going to go ahead with the second question before I answer the first one. Will the payment be automatically picked up by ePay at some point? The answer to the question, the first question, is the answer to the second question. If those payments or those claims that have been sitting in current pay for years, and we've seen them on our ePay files, they will be picked up in ePay. ePay file is created based on earnings. So those earnings at SGA will be identified on the files that we get for processing. And you know, one of the requirements for payments are the payment status. For outcome claims, the beneficiary must be in suspense due to worker earnings. What we have seen over years is just what you say here. ENs continuously have submitted outcome claims, and then at some point they just gave up because they were denied over and over again because the beneficiary was in current pay. The beauty of ePay is at some point, those SSNs will always remain on our ePay file as long as the earnings are there. And at some point, Social Security may retroactively place the beneficiary in that non-pay or suspense pay status due to worker earnings. The reason why we pay so many claims on ePay is because we are paying so many retroactive claims where the beneficiary status has changed retroactively, and we will go back and find each one of those payments and process them. The next question was, when and how can an EN recoup the payments for those months which were not paid because the beneficiary remained in pay status? Oh, I just said that one. Okay, when will the payment be available? And this question is in addition to something else in the same sentence. They're asking when will the payment be available when the beneficiary is deemed to be an overpayment or after the overpayment is paid back. Let me make one thing clear about beneficiaries' overpayments. We call them program overpayments. Beneficiaries' overpayments do not affect ticket-to-work payments to the EN. So whenever we recognize that a payment can be made, in answer to your question, when will the payment be available, as soon as we receive information that beneficiary meets all the payment criteria, we will make that payment. So immediately once we find out. But again, the beneficiary's individual program overpayment has no impact on ticket-to-work payment. And the next part of this, I'm just reading everything the EN has submitted. And if so, does SSA update the records and does ePay pick up the months as due but not paid, or is only after the May overpayment month is paid back or some other guideline? ePay does not pick up months due but not paid. Ticket to work payments are not like programmatic records at SSA that post due and compares due to paid records and then compute an overpayment or underpayment. If it's a programmatic overpayment, the EN is not affected by that. As long as the beneficiary has met the requirements by earnings and pay status, we will make the payment. Then the next part of this is sometimes those tickets are terminated, which also eliminates service providers to ever get paid for those months, which seem unfair in that not only were the services provided, the earnings were reported. What does a service provider need to do to get paid for these months? Well, if the ticket was terminated, you can submit a payment request by way of fax, the manual process, along with the earnings, and we will pay all claims up until the month before the ticket was terminated. I hope that answered that lengthy question there. Number 6, has there been a change to the way ENs can request payment for a person who is self-employed? If so, what is the change? What is the fastest way for an EN to receive payment for someone who is self-employed? Those of you who have been involved in a ticket program for a long period know at one time that we had something called certification payment requests, and all self-employment claims were certification payment requests. And we called it that because we did not have confirmation that those earnings, we did not have confirmation of earnings. So we no longer have a certification payment request. So what's the best way of getting paid for a self-employed beneficiary? Submit your payment request through the portal. If those self-employment earnings have been posted to Social Security's records, and if those earnings posted satisfy a certain type of payment, we will make the payment. So you still can get paid, but the best way to do it is submit the payment request through the portal. And this is how you would know. If you if you had a claim month, for example, February 2015, and you submitted that, let's say it was an outcome payment through the portal. Well, the portal would give, if those earnings were posted in Social Security's database somewhere, it will give you a message that those earnings were already proven. So you would know that the earnings are there and you could continue with submitting your payment request. If you do not get that message, then you should not continue because you would have to provide evidence of earnings. And for self-employment, there's no way for you to do that. Self-employment earnings are posted to Social Security's system, and it's based on when the beneficiaries file their taxes, and that information comes from IRS. So we can only process self-employment claims or pay self-employment claims when those earnings are posted to Social Security's records. Okay?
Thank you, Deborah. Do we have any other or additional questions presented during the chat? Okay, while we are waiting, I would like to read questions submitted to us via email. The following call topic suggestion was made by Peter Mead of Career Connect LLC in Eugene, Oregon. The question is, a new approach to tracking earnings for SSDI. Now earnings will be credited as being in the month received as for SSI. Will this affect the way we request payment? No, this new approach will not affect the manner in which a payment request is made. If the earnings received, whether SSI or SSDI, are valid earnings and meet the criteria for payment, the payment request will be fulfilled. I believe Ian should continue to request payment, and TPM will evaluate the case and make a determination if payment can be made. The second question, are we at risk for losing a month of payment on this? This process should eliminate delays in obtaining earnings documentation. Therefore, you are eligible to receive payments faster. No matter where we identify earnings that meet payment criteria, we will make the payment. The next question, does that mean that in most payment requests, when we have adequate pay stubs providing all the information, including pay period, the old SSDI rules will still apply? Go ahead, Deborah.
I just wanted to know, did you want me to pick up on this and answer?
Sure. Sure.
Okay, for those questions about earnings, yes, the rules, the old SSDI rules apply. Let me tell you the reason for this, why this makes it much easier for ENs to get paid. There are times when ENs submit payment requests and a beneficiary may be eligible for a type of payment under one program but not the other. For example, a beneficiary may be in current pay under SSI. However, they're in suspense under SSDI. There are no payments on the record, so we can make milestone payments. However, if there were, the old way we did this, because they were eligible under the SSI program, because the beneficiary was in the right pay status to get a milestone, met the milestone requirement, we would check to see if under the SSI program earnings were posted. They were posted, we would pay. If they were not posted under the SSI program or any program, then we would not make the payment. We would wait for evidence to come in. A lot of times, we will see the SSI earnings posted before we see any SSDI or Title II earnings posted. So the point is, we have earnings there. We can use either one. We try to, whichever ones we have, we make it advantageous to you. If you qualify for something that was earned in, let's say, February, but paid in March, we will pay you for February, because as long as you made all the earnings or enough earnings to satisfy a request in February. So as Sean said, in most instances, you get paid faster. I hope that answers the question. But there is no change to the rules as far as how SSA treats payments. This is how we are treating payments, earnings, only for Ticket to Work.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah. We have an additional question. Have all field offices been instructed about this new rule? And will they apply it in the same way, or will we see variables on how the field office interpret this new rule?
Again, as I said before, the field office, there's no change in the way field offices or the way SSA handles your earnings. They handle them the same way they always have. This only applies to how we look at earnings when we're processing Ticket to Work claims.
Thank you, Deborah. And that would conclude all the emails submitted, the questions submitted via email. Do we have any additional questions in the chat room at this time, Deborah?
Somebody wrote this, Linda. How would I submit a payment request for a client that was self-employed while they were assigned to us in 2015? They are no longer assigned to us. I tried to submit by way of fax and was denied. Okay. If you submit a payment request for an SCI beneficiary by way of fax, you would have had to also submit evidence of earnings. Since there are no evidence of earnings you can submit for an SCI beneficiary, the way to go here is to submit that payment request through the portal. The beneficiary may no longer be assigned to you, but you still could be eligible for payments, maybe for the full payment if the beneficiary has not reassigned his ticket to another EN. If he's reassigned a ticket to another EN, that might result in a split payment between your EN and the other EN. But if the EN has, the beneficiary has not reassigned his ticket, and if SSA has earnings posted to their system, which the portal will give you a message telling you that, more than likely, this is the way for you to go to get paid.
Thank you, Deborah. Nandi, do we have any questions submitted via phone?
Yes, you do. You have a question from the line of Janine Clover.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Fantastic. Okay, I have a beneficiary that I've been working with. He works for the school district. And the pay stubs that he submits, the dates on them are really not reflecting the month in which the pay is supposed to be reflecting on the pay stub. And so a letter has been submitted by the school district in order for me to send in with the pay request. And they've actually worked up until the last month, which was August. The pay stub for August reflects June's date, because it's over the summer months. And so I'm wondering, do I have to wait in order for that information to be submitted to Social Security in order to get the pay request. It's been denied. But when do I know to resend it, or, I mean, how – I've lost contact with the person. He's also just dropped off the radar. And so I'm not sure what to do with it. Any suggestions?
This is a beneficiary who's paid through the school system, but you're saying that performed work, he was paid through August, but the
yes.
pay stubs are for June? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they're reflecting June's date, and all of the pay stubs over the summer months have been doing that because that's the last month of school.
So, oh, but they spread the money out for the whole year.
It's actually
through the summer months.
Stubs. There's three pay stubs over the summer months, but they are
right.
like really weird dates.
And you said you have something from the school system explaining that?
I have a letter that explains how the pays were laid out, but it
okay.
was denied, and I'm not sure how to readdress it.
Okay. Did you send a letter along with your payment request?
Yes.
Okay. Resend it. We would have to really look at that letter and see if we could sit down. And one thing you could try to do is do a supplemental earnings statement if you can figure out those pay periods yourself and submit that again with the payment request as well as with that letter. And we could take another look at that because it
okay.
sounds like it was something very complex and maybe someone looked at it and it just didn't really understand it.
Okay, okay. And then I have another question. I have a beneficiary who is self-employed. And is there a form on the yourtickettowork.com that the person can fill out to reflect their gross minus their business expenses to show net in order to get an idea and submit for payments? And do I have to wait until they file their income tax in order to send that pay request?
We used to have a form when we used to accept what we called when we had evidence versus what was the other one? I just mentioned it earlier and I forgot. We had evidentiary claims. And what was the other one? I have a senior moment here.
Supplemental earnings
statement. Excuse me, certification. we used to accept that form when we had certification requests. We no longer have those, so we no longer use that form anymore. So that form means nothing to us if someone laying around. We don't use those because, let me tell you the reason why we do self-employment the way we do self-employment. A beneficiary can put anything on that form. And when they file, let's say they put down gross $3,000, expenses $500, net $2,500. When they go file their income tax for the year, they may show something like they made $15,000 for the year and the expenses were $14,500, net $500. They pay no taxes. So the reason why Social Security waits until those earnings are posted, they wait till the beneficiary files their income tax to see what the liability is for the taxes, what their net income is, what they filed to IRS, and that is what's posted to Social Security records. So, yes, you will have to wait until the beneficiary files his income tax and before we would eventually get those earnings in Social Security records.
And, well, my question is if we wait until then, how do we reflect a monthly as opposed to what am I trying to say so it makes sense. You know how we do a monthly if they meet SGA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how would we know from month to month if they've met SGA monthly? Is that something that's reflected in the statements to Social Security, their monthly
no.
earning? So how,
no.
how which
okay.
month would they actually claim for the outcome or for the EP?
Okay. Okay, if a number of times, because normally what we see is, you know, they're filing the taxes for a whole year, and Social Security has its own way of determining monthly amounts. They may do an estimate divided by 12. If they do a work CR on the beneficiary, they can do it that way to try to find out what the monthly amounts are. But it's unless the beneficiary would go into the field office and dispute, let's say, for instance, they worked 10 months of the year, and we divided their earnings by 12. So they didn't make quite make SGA. The beneficiary could go into the field office and have that corrected.
Okay, okay. So it's basically up to the individual to go in to Social Security and make sure that it reflects.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely correct. To make sure that Social Security keeps it, you know, post their earnings accurately.
Okay, okay. So it wouldn't do any good to ask the individual to submit a monthly statement to me to kind of help me get an idea?
No, because you don't know what they're going to file at the end of the year.
True, because some of the things that, well, he was asking me, well, I take off my food and I take off my, and I'm like, well, that's not a business expense unless
exactly.
It's a business dinner.
Yeah.
In your business, and so, yeah, I can understand what that would be a problem. Okay, that pretty much answers my question, and I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Deborah. Nandi, do we have any submissions of questions via the phone line?
Yes, you do have a question from the line of Julie Sanderson.
Hi, this is Judy. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly note that when I called in today, I was not asked any survey questions. So I don't know whether or not it was just a lot of calls coming in all at once and they couldn't get it in, or if there was something else going on. And that was it. I just wanted to let you know that potentially not everybody got the survey questions.
Okay.
Thank you very much for providing that information.
No problem.
Your next question comes from the line of Erin Mark.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. At the beginning of the phone call, I heard something, and I wasn't sure. I just wanted to ask a question. You had mentioned something about the EN reporting when we submit our faxes of information, but I thought I heard that you said something about emailing information. So I wasn't aware that that was an option. I always thought we had to fax in information.
No, are you referring to the EN Payments Help Desk?
I'm not sure. It was at the beginning of the phone call, and I wrote it down because I thought I heard, well, when you fax or email the information in. So I just want to follow up to see if that was a possibility when we submit pay stub information, or maybe I did not hear it correctly.
Well, yes, you have the option of emailing information to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com.
I never knew that. So we don't have to submit everything by the portal. We can actually send pay stubs.
It's preferable to submit this information via the portal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any disruption caused at any given time, you're free to email that information to us as well.
Oh, okay. I never knew that. But how do you secure the information? Do you do it password protected or something?
Correct. Email inquiries must be password protected and encrypted with the EN's personal identification number or PIN number that is on file with TPM. ENs can obtain their PIN details from the Social Security Administration announcement that was dated July 15, 2015. Email inquiries must include the EN's DUNS, beneficiaries, SSN, and the claim months specified. But if you have any questions in relation to your PIN number, it would be best to contact your ENSB contact person and obtain that information.
Okay. I understand that, but just one more question to follow up. So if we don't have access to a fax for whatever reason and we need to email pay stubs, we can do that. And if so, do you put it in a file and do password protection on the file, or how? I was just wondering how to submit pay stubs because they're usually PDFs or JPEGs.
Yeah, you should really submit your documentation by by fax or mail. You can email other information that you might have when you're making an inquiry. But if you have documentation, you should fax it or mail it.
Okay. So that's what I was trying to clarify, whether we could email pay stubs. But okay. So that makes sense.
We do have a question from the line of Stacy Clark.
Hello. Can you hear me? This is Stacy.
Yes, we can hear you, Stacy.
Okay, great. Yeah, I had you on mute. I have a question, and it was it's based on a beneficiary I did send in through the portal to get paid, and he had just, based on I knew his work schedule for the month, because as someone was mentioning before, sometimes pay stubs, as you know, run from, you know, partial month to the next, which was exactly his case. He had, you know, some of August ran through to September, and September ran through a little bit of October. So I sent in, you know, enough to show what I was trying to put in a claim for September. So what had happened, he had worked, you know, certain days within that month, and I knew he had reached trial work level for September. I think he made around, I don't have it in front of me, say 860, 870, trial work level being 810. But based on the calculations that the payment department, they explained it to me, how they pulled it, you know, however that calculation goes, they based it on day. So it ended up being he was at 806. So I wasn't able to get payment for that based on the calculations. But in fact, I do know he actually earned, based on the days that he worked, because he's part-time, he actually did earn over 810, here around 860 for September gross. So how is that something I could send something in to, you know, override that? How would I approach that?
Katie, could you correct me on that? It's the way our system is set up. It calculates
a daily, I think they said, right?
Yes. think it calculates daily, but I don't think it includes Saturday and Sundays, right? Or does it?
This is Katie.
The only way it seems like that person could get those earnings is if he worked on a weekend or something
correct.
Like that. But,
right.
So I, again, you know, talking over the phone, we actually have to see something. Could you submit that? If you have the work case number where it was denied?
I could get that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Send an inquiry to the payment help desk. And,
okay.
And when you talk to them, ask them to submit that to that inquiry to the payment supervisor so that we can take a look at that and analyze.
Yeah, and if I had to, I can get his exact schedule. That's what I was trying to tell the payment help desk, because I actually called that and they said, nope, it's counted daily. It's not going to work. And I was like, well, he actually did earn over 810, I know for sure, within that calendar month based on the days that he worked, because exactly what you said, he's part-time, so he could work, you know, however it fell, I knew for sure that it was. So if I have to provide the daily, you know, hours he worked every day for the month from his employer, I might be able to do that to help
there's something called a supplemental earnings statement.
Okay.
It helps us try to figure out when we are confused or something's not really, really clear to us.
Right.
Ian's filled that out, and we take a look at that. We take a look at the documentation. You know, we look at everything that you send us and try to figure
out. Okay. Yeah, they didn't give me that option, so I'm glad I'm asking that now, because it was basically, too bad. You know, it calculates it this way. There's really no getting around it. So I'm glad I'm presenting this. So I just would need to fill that out. Yeah, let me write that down. It's called supplemental what?
Earnings statement.
Okay. Supplemental. All right. So, yeah, I'll send this with the, I understand what you're saying, with the number, and we'll take a look at it. And then if I do, in fact, like I said, can get his whole schedule of each day that he worked and how many hours a day for the month, I might be able to do that, which would definitely help your payment department.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further audio questions at this time.
Thank you. Deborah, do we have any additional questions during the chat at this time?
Teresa Neer has this question. Hi, I thought we were under new disability calculations. We're earning are now calculated by pay dates and not pay periods anymore. I am confused. Teresa, we will calculate earnings under both. It does not matter if it's an SSI recipient or if it's SSI beneficiary or Title II beneficiary. We will look at earnings of either one, and whichever one will meet the payment requirement, we will use those earnings. If we are able to pay you earlier because earnings were, the pay date was before, the period that it showed the earnings. For example, if we close out a month of September, but the earnings were earned in September but paid in October, we will look at September earnings. We will pay you a little bit earlier. It all depends on, you know, what we see. But we use both. But it's not for, it's only for ticket to work in processing these claims. It is not the way field offices or the rest of SSA looks at earnings. The rest of SSA calculates SSI earnings by pay date and SSDI by when the wages were earned, period, they were earned.
Thank you, Deborah. Nandi, do we have any additional questions pending via phone?
There are no audio questions at this time.
Okay. All right. As a reminder, the TPM provides an opportunity to all ENs to discuss payment-related topics on the last Tuesday of each month during the all-EN payments call at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The full transcript and audio for the all-EN payments call are available on the Ticket to Work website under the Events and Archives section. Our next all-EN payment call is scheduled for Tuesday, November 29th. This will conclude our presentation for today. Thank you all for listening, your attention, and participation during the call. Please have a great evening.